rain is moving in on the dual Doppler 5000 radar. How long showers stick around overnight and the chilly temperatures coming with it.
Shops all along this strip mall here on North Raleigh Boulevard marked by so many bullet holes as these owners are picking up the pieces after someone opened fire last night, injuring three men.
The State Department of Health and Human Services has a new plan to address the youth mental health crisis, how it could decrease obstacles to ensure young people get the care they need.
Tracking rain across our area tonight, and it's expected to become more widespread in the next few hours. This is a live look right now at the Dual Doppler 5000. Thank you for joining us. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. These showers will continue as you go to bed tonight into the overnight hours. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with when it may move out, Kat.
It's going to be a nice, healthy dose of rain, a pretty steady rain expected to move in tonight. It'll be light to moderate in spots. This should help to wash away the pollen and also help to water your gardens and your yards. Right now, the showers are in the northern part of our viewing area, really from Durham north at this point, but we will continue to see showers moving in from the west a little bit later on this evening. So by the time we get to our 10 o'clock news tonight, we expect a lot more colors on the radar. And you can see that here on Futurecast. 11 o'clock nearly, everyone should be seeing some of these showers rolling through, and they stick around through about 3 a.m. tomorrow morning, and then we should gradually see those showers clearing out. By 6 a.m., for the early morning risers, it is still a cloudy start to your day, but the sunshine back out by tomorrow afternoon. I'll show you a closer look at the system that arrives this weekend and our latest thoughts on that coming up, Dan.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon. Thanks, Kat.
Tonight, police are still searching for the gunman who opened fire at a Raleigh strip mall. Three men were hurt, and businesses in that area are riddled with bullet holes. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan shows us the damage and what we know about the investigation.
This Chinese restaurant unable to open today. They're still picking up the pieces and cleaning up after bullets blasted through their restaurant and many of the shops in this strip mall. Crunching over shards of glass and walking into blood-soaked floors in a bullet-ridden building is not how the owners of Lamb's Garden expected to start their day. This Chinese restaurant, just one of many shops in this strip mall, now blemished by dozens of bullet holes, some still lodged right in the cinder blocks. The owner here tells me one man was shot right near the front door.
It's absolutely ridiculous. It's terrifying.
Chuck Jaber owns the check cashing store next to Lamb's Garden. Today, he came to check on his shop and others.
Coming to a shopping center like this and see all these bullet holes in the wall, that's going to, you know, a lot of people, they're going to retreat.
Gunfire broke out last night around 9 p.m., according to Raleigh police. When they arrived, they found two men shot and another man showed up at the hospital with gunshot wounds from the incident.
When I see stuff like this, it scares me because I sometimes have my grandson with me who's six.
Regular shoppers like Bonita Christian were back out today, strolling their carts past the shattered glass windows of their neighborhood Food Lion.
How are you feeling today?
Shaken.
Police say they're actively searching for whomever pulled the trigger, injuring three people here, but also causing damage and rippling impacts to the shop owners.
Very discouraging, very disappointing to see this in this neighborhood. I've been here for 22 years. I love this community. We've done a lot for this community, and this community has been good to us. And to see what's going on, it is not good.
Raleigh police have not released any suspect information in this triple shooting or the latest conditions on the three men who were shot. Chelsea Donovan, WRAL News, Raleigh.
President Biden made a stop in the Triangle today. He kicked off a weeks-long tour in Durham this afternoon, focusing on American manufacturing. WRAL's Durham reporter Sarah Kruger shares why he selected to start this tour in the Bull City.
The Durham-based Wolf Speed was the backdrop for the president's remarks. The president focused on keeping jobs in America, and that is exactly what this company is doing.
Investing in America is the theme of the Biden administration's three-week-long tour.
We used to invest 2% of our GDP in research and development. The last 35 years, it got down to 0.7%. But America's coming back. We're determined to lead the world in the manufacturing of semiconductors.
He says the pandemic highlighted our country's vulnerability. Semiconductors, or chips, are used in everything from washing machines to cars. And without enough of them, production was grinding to a halt. That's where companies like Wolfspeed come in. The backdrop for the president's remarks, the company is one of the nation's largest creators of chips and recently announced an expansion to Chatham County.
We need to not be buying chips from Asia. We need to be making them here and having the control over our future.
That expansion is to the tune of $5 billion. It's expected to bring 1,800 jobs. Sarah Kruger, WRAL News, Durham.
Meantime, North Carolina's GOP leaders were quick to criticize President Biden's visit. Chairman of the North Carolina Republican Party, Michael Whatley, had this to say about the visit today.
You know, it is ironic that he would be down here in North Carolina touting his economic successes when North Carolina families, a record number of families all across the country, are saying that they are worse off over the last 2 years than they were under the previous administration.
You can find full coverage of the president's visit on our website, WREL.com.
State health leaders have published a new plan to address a crisis in young people. The initiative would put funding in schools for students needing mental health services. Dr. Jalen Close is a pediatrician and child psychiatrist at Duke who worked on this plan. She says telehealth programs can help bring equity to mental health care for young people.
So it can allow kids to be able to see people like child psychiatrists in ways that decrease a lot of barriers. So families don't have to take time off of work and kids don't have to take as much time out of the classroom.
The plan also calls for $100 million to establish more social workers and school nurse positions. This map of North Carolina shows the areas where child psychiatrists are needed. More than half the counties in the state are in red, meaning they have none.
Let's take a live look. This is the legislative building downtown as we speak. New tonight, that's where the state house and lawmakers just approved a bill that would make mobile sports betting legal in North Carolina. WRL investigative sports reporter Brian Murphy joining us now live after following these developments for quite some time now. Brian, what's next for this measure?
Well, it passed the House today, and that's a big step because last year it failed in the House by a single vote. This year it passed by 66-45, so quite a turnaround. Now it'll go to the Senate, and then eventually, if it passes the Senate, we'll go to Governor Roy Cooper, who is a supporter of the legislation.
Now, very, very similar bill got held up in the House last time around. Now, pretty much a comfortable vote in favor of it. What changed?
I think, people don't like to hear this, but I think lobbyists really went to work. I think they canvassed a lot of new lawmakers. There are a lot of new lawmakers who tend to be a little bit younger than the lawmakers that they replaced. And I think they really went to work selling this bill. They included more money for HBCUs and other colleges across the country. They included more money for youth programs. They included more money for problem gambling. And I think they were just able to rally support over the last 9 months, 10 months.
There have been a lot of opponents to this bill throughout its entire ups and downs through the legislature. They proposed 8 amendments to this most recent write-up. What were they trying to do, and what has been kind of the crux of the argument against this bill?
Yeah, there's been a couple different lines of argument against it. One, just moralistically, the state doesn't need to be in the gambling business, and the revenue that's generated is minuscule compared to the overall state budget. There were a lot of attempts today to remove college sports from the bill, to remove amateur sports from the bill, to phase out promos and free bets. All of these efforts failed, and I think that was a good sign that supporters really had locked down their support for this bill. Opponents will try again. Obviously, this bill has to go to the Senate. They will work hard to try to defeat it.
If everything moves smoothly, if it goes through the Senate, when could people actually start betting on sports in North Carolina?
Yeah, that's the question I get all the time. The bill is an effective date of January 8th. So right before the national championship game in football, right before the NFL playoffs, sports gambling in North Carolina will be legal on your cell phone January 8th.
All right. Investigative reporter, sports reporter Brian Murphy. We appreciate the report. Thanks, Brian.
Still ahead, NC State researchers are hoping to reduce textile waste in landfills. A closer look at the new method that could allow these materials to be recycled and reused instead. Plus, if you missed out on Dreamville tickets, you have one more chance to snag some. We're going to tell you how coming up. The sports world and the UNC Chapel Hill community are rallying behind Eric Montross. Many of you know him as a national champion for the Tar Heels in basketball. He's now a radio analyst for the team. We recently learned he's battling cancer. Joining us now live, only on WREL, is play-by-play announcer Wes Durham, son of the late Woody Durham, who covered Eric and worked side-by-side with him. Good evening, Wes. Thanks so much for joining us. You tweeted news about this news over the weekend. One of the first people to really reach out talking about Eric and how much he means to your family.
Oh, my. Deborah, it's remarkable. And, of course, certainly, you know, our entire family is supporting he and Laura and their two children, Andrew and Sarah, in this battle. And I think a lot of people are. In fact, I ran into some folks after I posted that on social media who are not Carolina fans, but are people that are ACC basketball fans. Mm-hmm. And Eric's the kind of guy who was a fierce competitor, obviously won the title 30 years ago, but it is a guy who also now has bonded with a lot of fan bases, not just Carolina fans who obviously love him, but you know, those especially in the Triangle, Duke and NC State and certainly Wake Forest in the state of North Carolina, all respect and admire Eric Montross for sure.
You know, you see him working with the kids there, too, in that video. In the statement from Montross and his family, it talks about appreciating the support, and they realize support is a necessary part of beating cancer. So we're looking at the family statement here. How much do you think that support will help Eric in this battle?
Oh, I can tell you that that support means everything. And the good vibes and the good wishes that have happened just since this news broke late last week has already been felt. And I think that's a critical piece of anybody's care and treatment. Mm-hmm. And I think the other, you know, great news is, and folks in the Atlanta area who I'm familiar with have said that, you know, because he's getting treated at UNC, they feel like his prognosis is very good and he's getting the best possible care. And I think mm-hmm. that's a huge part of this too. It's not only the mental thing, it's the actual treatment itself. And certainly folks in that area are blessed to have the facility at UNC Hospital there as they do.
Yeah, the Lineberger Center is just nationally, internationally known really for its care. Your father, Woody, also a very public figure, the voice of the Tar Heels yeah. for 40 years, was diagnosed with aphasia. What advice do you have for the Montross family as they try to have some privacy in this fight?
Well, it's interesting because, and you know my mom very well, mm-hmm. The support that Eric has received is very similar to the support my dad received. And when my dad stepped away from public speaking because of aphasia, a lot of people reached out. And that support means more than people realize. So any connection that Eric would have had to Carolina fans or to, you know, ACC basketball, all that means something. Mm-hmm. And I countless times we remembered what it meant to my dad to have people stop him and speak to him, even though he was limited in his conversation, he mm-hmm. could still engage them. And I think it would mean a ton to Eric as well. And I know he feels those wishes in this fight as we all continue to support he and his family as they begin this journey for sure.
We all do. Wes, please say hi to your mom for me. Thanks so much for your time tonight. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Deborah. Be well. Thank you.
You too.
From fast fashion to ripped sheets, tons of textiles are ending up in enormous landfills like this one, more than 11 million tons each year, according to the Environmental Protection Agency. WREL's climate change reporter Liz McLaughlin shows us a new method now from NC State researchers that could change that.
You couldn't really recycle this.
Like many of us, NC State professor Sonia Salmon is wearing clothing that's a blend of cotton and polyester.
Together, those two fibers are making up about 75% of all of the fibers used in textiles.
So she and master's student Jeannie Egan set out to find a way to break down those blends.
And when I came into lab and I looked at it and I saw that there were no solids left, I was so happy.
First, they cut up the cloth and mix the pieces into a liquid. Enzymes break down the cotton into a slurry containing sugars that can be used to make biofuels.
And biomethane, it's already used today to power buses and tractors. So yes, indeed, your t-shirt and blue jeans could power a tractor and grow the next crop of cotton.
Once the cotton is removed, the remaining polyester could be reused or recycled.
Currently, recycled polyester that's used in clothing actually comes from recycling your soda bottles.
Salmon and Egan hope this method can make textile-to-textile recycling easier, cutting down on the estimated 50 to 90 million tons of textile waste that's discarded globally each year.
We can't solve every problem, but if we tackle the big pieces, you know, then we can make a big difference.
By keeping more textiles in use and out of the landfill. Liz McLaughlin, WRAL News.
Well, grab a raincoat if you were headed out the door. As we take a live look at Chapel Hill, you can see those dark clouds off in the distance. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now with the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Kat?
We've got some rain coming down in parts of our area. South Hill, one of the areas that is already seeing the rain. If it is not raining where you are yet, it is coming a little bit later on tonight. This should be pretty widespread rain. We have a 90% chance of rain in the forecast tonight. It's already here in the northern part of our viewing area, just north of Durham and Chapel Hill. At this point, you can see this line. It is moving to the northeast, but we've got more rain off to our west where this is coming from. So it should fill in tonight in the triangle. By midnight, we're up to a 90% chance for rain. An 80% chance at 2 a.m. If you are going to be out and about for any reason tonight, maybe work a late shift or you're running some errands, grab the umbrella, bring it with you. Overnight is when most of the rain will fall while folks are sleeping. We're looking at likely less than a quarter of an inch of rain in the southwestern part of our viewing area. Toward the Sand Hills, a quarter of an inch to perhaps half an inch of rain around the triangle. And just north and east of the triangle, that's where we could see a little more rain, up to about 3/4 of an inch of rain. One model even showing up to about an inch in spots. Looking at the wide picture, we've got this one area of showers that's moving in from the west tonight. This is the first system we're watching. The second one that we're going to be watching at the end of the week is this system that is making its way ashore in California right now. Still the center of the low pressure, still over the Pacific Ocean. So it is not yet fully moved over land. Once it does, we should get a better idea of how this system will play out once it arrives in North Carolina. We can start to put some of that data into our models. This arrives over the weekend when we've got a lot going on, a lot happening outdoors. So I encourage you check in for updates as the system moves closer onshore. We should get a better feel for the timing. But here's our latest thoughts today. About a 20% chance for rain during the day Friday, a 30% chance Friday night. Anything on Friday would be light. And then Saturday, about a 40% chance for rain early in the day. Saturday night into Sunday, though, looking dry. So the weekend should still have dry hours. The Durham Bulls home opener on Friday at 6:35. A long-awaited season. Should be beautiful. 73 degrees. A lot of clouds in the area, but nice and warm. And we can't rule out a stray shower toward the end of the game. But I think for first pitch, it should be dry and breezy. So a heads up to the players out there. Hopefully the wind will help us make some big scores. Southwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour, and it's even more windy on Saturday. Some showers possible early in the day for Dreamville. It is looking like less than a quarter of an inch of rain, so hopefully that helps a little bit with any mud, and the rain should be out of here by the time we get to the big acts and the headliners. 81 Saturday, 68 degrees on Sunday with dry weather expected the way it looks now. No rain out there tomorrow, but if you are going to be out and about early in the day with the kids, make sure that they have their jackets. Just 45 degrees at 8 a.m. We even get down to 40 tomorrow night. Can't rule out some patchy frost up in our northern counties tomorrow night. Not expecting that here in the triangle, though. A couple of cooler days with highs in the 60s. Back in the 70s Friday, 80s on Saturday. And as we head into next week, temperatures likely to warm up a little bit again. Back up to 80 degrees by next Tuesday. Deborah and Dan.
A little bit for everybody on that forecast. Thank you, Kat.
There's a local coffee shop brewing up something pretty special, and it's all for a great cause. How the company supporting people with disabilities is bringing it back to the shop's roots, an NC State dorm room.
Good news if you're still looking for Dreamville tickets.
Yes, some are available online right now. People are saying, weren't they sold out?
Yeah.
You may remember tickets were sold out about a week after the lineup was announced, so, you know, pretty quickly. But organizers say there are few left now after some fans didn't complete their payment plans. Now you're going, payment plans? How expensive are these tickets? Well, they're not cheap.
Yeah.
They range from $300 to $550, and that's before the fees. You know, those tickets can rack up some fees. Some of the artists performing this weekend include Usher, Drake, and Fayetteville's own J. Cole, who created the event, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you get tickets, enjoy. Hotel rooms are filling up fast ahead of Dreamville. Hotel managers, they know it's going to be a busy weekend here.
Yeah, in fact, a search on Google notifies you that room prices are much higher than normal. Even though some hotels have prices listed through the search engine, when you go to the site, you're going to see they actually completely are booked for the weekend. The general manager of the downtown Sheraton says they sold out just hours after the lineup was announced.
I think with the lineup of artists, this definitely has a really big draw. And this is probably the busiest one we've seen in a good handful of years.
Good news, right? Visit Raleigh says most of the ticket holders are coming from out of town. Fuller says he expects demand to continue to grow every year.
I might rent out a room, make a couple of bucks.
I know, might as well take advantage. NC State University and 321 Coffee are brewing up a special collaboration, launching a new blend.
Let's introduce it, the Greater Good Blend, a medium roast coffee. 321 Coffee Company employs people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, and the company all started in the dorm rooms of NC State. The new blend features NC State branding and barista Sam, one of 321's first employees and a lifelong Wolfpack fan. Greater Good is available April 11th, and a portion of the proceeds will support NC State scholarships.
That's awesome. I wish we had Smell-O-Vision. We could smell the coffee.
That is such a great company, by the way.
Win-win.
They do amazing work. A new foal is roaming the Outer Banks.
Meet Dove, the Kerala Wild Horse Fund, posted photos of the new female horse who was just born last week. Dove appears to be thriving. The nonprofit organization says she's extra special because her grandfather passed away just a few years ago. They issued a reminder for people to keep their distance.
Oh, yeah, good advice. She's but cute. View from a distance because they are beautiful. Yeah. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Our next newscast at 10 on Fox 50 and at 11 on WREL. See you then. Good night.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.